This is All Games Considered.
Hey baby, how you doing today? You got some time on your mind, find a way. You're on an interactive holiday. You're on a mission. Cause it feels like I got a world to go inside my soul. Cause it feels like I got no place to be, but nowhere to go. Trouble in a struggle in a toad's way. You got your tightest brow on your darkest day. You got an SOS from the DEA. You got your old and future washing away.
And welcome to episode 4 of...
Episode 4, so this is sort of like a Star Wars thing, then.
As the Old Republic introduced role-playing games...
Mark, I am your father. Okay. You shall now have to play champions until you are dead.
Oh no, not champions! No! I'm Mark Kinney.
I'm Chris Heim.
And that was... inspired. Was what?
Effed up.
Yeah.
But, you know what, that's what it takes to be inspired these days.
Yeah, seems like it sometimes. Oh, let's see... email and such, and...
We actually have email?
Well, technically, if you count, offers to hold money for the Nigerian Finance Ministry and,
Hey,
Herbal
you can
Viagra.
Make some good money with that, though. I mean, don't you get, like, a percentage from it or something?
Well, they say that, but you have to put up a bunch of money to because of problems that crop up, but...
Oh, it's one of those pyramid schemes.
Yeah, well, it's just a scheme. There's no pyramid to it, but... Well, anyway.
So there's no pyramids in Nigeria?
Not that I know of. It's,
okay.
That's mostly Egypt. And some in Mexico and a few
other. If an Egyptian leader was to send us that, then...
It might be a pyramid scheme.
Wow.
As everybody in the audience groans loudly. Ooh, let's see. While we're talking about email and such as that, I was hoping that in 2 weeks we'd be able to do a big thing on Origins, the gaming convention.
Where is that located?
Columbus, Ohio. Ah. I don't remember the exact thing. It's next weekend. It's...
Which, for those of you not staying up to date, would be...
Well, actually, it's technically... Well, when you hear this, I think it's next weekend, so...
Oh, man.
Welcome to podcasting, folks, where you record something way ahead of time and can't keep track of your own schedule.
Let's see. Next weekend translates into...
Well, this show will actually probably go out on the podcast...
July 1st through 3rd.
That sounds about right.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, because we're recording this on Tuesday. It'll actually go out in the podcast about Saturday or so, and it's the week after that.
Yeah, this is all stale stuff. This has been around for years. You guys just don't know it. We recorded this back in 2003.
Back before there was podcasting.
That's right, because we're just that damn good.
We're that forward-looking. But we were hoping to have some people here who were going to either have some people on who were going to go to the convention or get an email from them, something like that. I don't know if they're going to be going. So any of you out there, if you go to Origins, let us know any neat stuff you find. Email allgamesconsidered@gmail.com, and we will try to have a little overview of the Origins convention. I'll try to find out who won the Origins Awards, such as they are, before the next show. I actually tried to vote on the Origins Awards a little while ago, and they...
What do you mean they tried to vote on the awards?
No, I tried to go and put in my vote for the awards recently, and they've really, really gutted them since the last... Well, since before. I mean, they used to have, you know, these huge lists of categories, and now it's just a relative handful of things. It's kind of sad. But what can you do? I guess in our case, we can go on to some news.
We could, couldn't we?
We could. Would you like to start?
Oh, I suppose. Let's see. Should we start with role-playing stuff or role-playing stuff?
I think role-playing stuff.
All right. Well, here's a little tidbit for you fans of that excellent horror role-playing game, All Flesh Must Be Eaten.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's almost timed right because of the impending release of Land of the Dead, which I'm not going to get to see on its opening day, but we won't go there. Go ahead.
Well, on a side note, George Romero actually had nothing to do with that except the original script, which is now pretty much scrapped for whatever script Hollywood made of it.
I thought he directed it, though.
No, actually, he gave them the script and they never called him back.
I'm going to have to look into this. I've heard that it's good anyway.
Okay.
But anyway, go ahead.
I digress. All right. They are going to be coming out with a Dead Worlds collection. The first of its kind will be called Worlds of the Dead. And it will basically give zombie masters everything they need to push their players to the edge of survival on a weekly basis. The Worlds of the Dead supplement is filled from cover to cover with Dead Worlds from a variety of authors. They're drawing upon industry professionals, up-and-coming talents, never-before-seen acts. That's really all I have on it.
Now how come nobody got in touch with me about this?
I don't know.
It's because I haven't written anything in years.
Maybe never before... Well, you've written something, though, so
it's been a long time ago, yeah. But yeah. I'm not in that, just so everybody knows. It's just me being whatever.
Help, I need work.
What other kind of information we have here? When's that coming out?
Oh, that will be coming out in October. And it has a suggested retail price, otherwise known as an SRP for you anal people, of $24.
Not bad.
And for more information, you can check out the Eden Studios website at www.edenstudios.net.
Mm-hmm. Link in the show notes as usual. And should be interesting. Like I said, we'll be looking at a... Well, there's been sort of a resurgence of interest in the whole zombie survival horror thing in the last couple of years. I mean, 28 Days Later, even though it's not really zombies.
It's close enough.
Weird. They wanted to call it a remake of Dawn of the Dead.
They did?
They sort of did, yeah. The only thing in common that it had in common with the original is it took place in a mall, as far as I know. But I haven't seen it. I've heard it's actually decent. I haven't seen it yet. I may one of these days. But
oh, wait. Are you talking about 28 Days Later, or are you talking about...
Dawn of the Dead.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay. And, of course, there's Shaun of the Dead.
Oh, yes. That is an excellent movie.
That
British people are just as exciting dead as they are alive.
I think you could say that about a lot of people in the world, actually,
true.
British. But, anyway, that should be interesting when it comes out.
Hopefully I haven't lost our one or two British listeners out there. If so, I apologize, and I shall give you your own greeting of konnichiwa.
Which is a very British greeting.
Yes.
Let's see what I've got here. You remember a few years back when... I think it was either White Wolf or a company related to White Wolf in some way or other did the EverQuest role-playing game, right?
I've tried to block that out.
And at some point there was a Warcraft role-playing game in that a while back, right?
Yeah, I think I actually have some information on that.
Well, now we have the World of Warcraft role-playing game.
Do you have to play it online?
I hope not. It says here, the fog of war has been lifted. The number one fantasy role-playing rules and the number one series of fantasy computer games joins forces in World of Warcraft, the role-playing game. This book, a revision and expansion of the first edition Warcraft RPG, translates the hugely successful Warcraft RTS game series and World of Warcraft MMORPG into a pen-and-paper role-playing game world based on the most popular rules for high fantasy gaming. Designed with extensive input from the creative minds behind the Warcraft computer games, World of Warcraft, the role-playing game, includes all the rules you need to play the game now, comprising updating rules from the first edition, as well as new rules added just for this edition.
So, pretty much it scraps the original book.
And, well, it just sounds like it adds a bunch of stuff to it from what I can see here, but of course, they may have done theirs under 3rd edition. Of course, we've got 3.5 now.
Ooh, that's true.
Although it doesn't say it's a D20 game, so it may merely be a game that uses a 20-sided die. That's...
yeah.
10 new and revised core character races, including gnomes, jungle trolls, Tauren, and the undead Forsaken. 12 new and revised core character classes, including the Arcanist, the Healer, Paladin, Rogue, and Warrior, along with 11 new and revised prestige classes, such as the Fellsworn, Hunter, and Berserker. New spell slots based magic system, and a hoard of spells for all spellcasters. Updated technological advice, device creation rules, a bit different there. And new community generation rules, history and gazetteer of Azeroth, so you can start a campaign anywhere in the world right away. And they've got some previews. There's the official World of Warcraft role-playing game character sheet, the RPG conversion document, and a special preview of it. It's at whitewolf.com, white-wolf.com. Or you can go straight to the page in particular at tinyurl.com/A8S6W.
Okay.
And I like how we're getting pen and paper versions of all of these MMORPGs lately. We had EverQuest a while back, this, City of Heroes.
They should convert more video games into role-playing games. How many guys out there would love to play a Grand Theft Auto role-playing game? I mean, come on.
Oh, that's frightening.
As long as I can run around in an ice cream truck selling cracks, selling crack to just dope heads and little kids, it's all good.
Indeed. Well...
I wonder how many XP that would be.
Okay. I think you should go on with your next one here.
Alrighty. Apparently Green Ronin and Ronin Arts have partnered for PDF publications. That's Adobe Acrobat format for those of you not in the know on that.
Portable document files.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. For popular game lines. This was announced on June 13th. Green Ronin Publishing and Ronin Arts are proud to announce a partnership to produce PDF products. Under the agreement, Ronin Arts will design new RPG publications that support established Green Ronin lines, such as Freeport, Blue Rose, the D20 Advanced Books, and Mutants and Masterminds. Green Ronin will release the PDFs as part of its multimedia RPG strategy. Coming from Green Ronin President Chris Pramas, or did I pronounce that right?
Pramas, I think.
Pramas?
I'm sure.
I always get that wrong.
If you're listening and you want to correct us, allgamesconsidered@gmail.com, go
Woo-hoo.
Ahead.
From Chris Pramas, Ronin Arts is a leader in PDF publishing. They share our dedication to quality, making them the natural choice for this team up. I have no idea if he actually sounds like that, but...
Okay.
And also from the Ronin Arts president, Phil Reed... We are delighted to partner up with a publisher of Green Ronin's stature and reputation. The opportunity to contribute to their innovative game lines was not to be missed. Excellent. The first two products of this union, Vengeance in Freeport and the Blue Rose Narrator's Journal, are already available on RPG Now. Vengeance in Freeport is a new D20 adventure for characters of 7th to 9th level, and the Blue Rose Narrator's Journal is a handy companion... handy campaign planner for game masters. Green Ronin Publishing, for those of you not in the know, is a game company from Seattle, Washington that was founded in 2000 by ex-Wizards of the Coast designer Chris Pramas and White Wolf co-founder Nicole Lindrus. In addition to its own line of award-winning games, Green Ronin is also the design house for the Game Workshop's new role-playing division, Black Industries. And it designed and developed the new edition of Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay. Ronin Arts is one of the top PDF producers in the RPG industry. Formed in 2002 by Philip Reed and Christopher Shai, Ronin Arts has a current product catalog of over 300 PDFs, including support for the D20 system, Mutants and Masterminds Superlink, and original games. Ronin Arts is also the home to such classic RPGs as The Whispering Vault and Star Ace. And if you need more information about that, you can visit the Ronin Arts website at www.roninarts.com.
Cool. Now, Star Ace, that actually brings back memories. I've never actually played Star Ace itself, but the other games of its ilk, if you remember Pace Setter.
They
put out three games, two of which caught on fairly well. You've got Time Master, which was originally picked up by, what's the name of the company? I think 5440 Orphite. And they not only carry the older books, but they also published a couple of newer adventures for it. And then, of course, there was Chill, which not only was re-released by Mayfair Games some years later in a really neat-looking edition, but is seeing a re-release sometime in the future. I'll find out more information on that, because I didn't even think about that until just now. But it was a pretty neat little thing. They seem to recall that TSR thought that their task resolution system was too close to Marvel Superheroes, with the tables with the different colors for difficulty and that. And
tables with colors equals copyright infringement.
That's my understanding of what happened to Pace Setter. The whole PDF publishing thing is another thing I think we should probably look at in a future show, because it's getting big now.
It might not be that legal all the time.
Not all the time, and that's something else that should be addressed in that. But you're looking at not just small companies looking into it. Like, for example, we talked about 30 in the last episode. And that was primarily published in PDF form. A lot of that company's other stuff was done in PDF form. A lot of small companies are doing that. And more recently, you're seeing bigger companies get into it with Steve Jackson Games' E23 project.
Oh, really?
Yes, yeah, where they sell PDFs of either smaller things from the past or small new things. It's fairly neat little situation. It's at e23.com if you want to see what they're doing.
So could
there.
You print out like an ogre?
I don't know if they have any
battleground.
I don't know if they have any ogre stuff on there or not. It'd be neat if they did.
That would be great.
I mean, there are companies that have like miniatures terrain that you can print out like that in PDF form, but I don't know. It would be neat, and it's something to look at, because since a lot of the bigger companies are getting into it now, and of course Wizards of the Coast was, at least for a while, releasing a bunch of old second edition and first edition Dungeons & Dragons stuff in PDF form, old adventure modules and that.
Well, so it seems to be pretty similar to what the RIAA is doing with MP3s. Because before all of this whole like iPod thing and everything, you had people downloading music off of things like Napster and Morpheus and just basically supposedly ripping off the radio audio companies. And so after a while they gave in and they made their own little pay system for it. So I guess we're seeing this with the actual publications of PDF files instead of illegally downloading them. I would never condone that.
Well, other than the small companies, I haven't seen any company do the big... main projects.
Green Ronin is a decent sized company.
Yeah, but I mean, what I mean is, you as far as their stuff goes, you haven't seen an official PDF release of, say, Mutants and Masterminds or any of their Mystic Vistas line or any of that. You haven't seen an official release of like a D20 Call of Cthulhu or Farscape or
any of the other games. Give it time.
You can find them out there, but.
Yeah.
You know, they're not quite legal, but...
Not quite legal. Oh, yes.
And that's something...
We could discuss that for days.
Yes, yeah, so that's why it needs its own show.
Exactly.
And we'll probably get into that at some point. The last bit of news here, a bit more serious note. Some of you out there may be familiar with David Sutherland. He is an illustrator who worked for TSR for quite a while, did a lot of... illustrations in the Dungeons & Dragons rule books and box sets. He died on June 6th of chronic liver failure at the age of 56. He's a trained commercial artist at the Minneapolis Vocational Technical Institute before serving as a military policeman in Vietnam. Eventually got into the, after returning from there, he eventually worked his way into drawing fantasy art for the Empire of the Petal Throne game, the first Tecumel game, which was published by Tactical Studies Rules. In 1974, TSR hired Sutherland to work on its Dungeons & Dragons games. Eventually became the artistic director at TSR, best known for spending 25 years drawing dragons, wizards, centaurs, and knights for the D&D manuals. His artwork graced the covers of the Player's Handbook, the Monster Manual, and the Dungeon Master's Guide.
Wow.
Those are probably the most recognizable ones on there. He drew dozens of intricate maps to help the D&D players better understand the game's intricate fantastical worlds. Also created Morley, the wizard that served as the firm's spokesperson in radio ads from 1977 to 1980. Soon after Wizards of the Coast bought TSR in 1999, Sutherland lost his job.
Thanks, Watsy.
His health and spirits declined when he couldn't find other artistic opportunities and his marriage failed. Several charity auctions offering Sutherland's D&D memorabilia were held in 2004 and raised $22,000. The money will be used as a trust fund for his two daughters. And so, farewell, Mr. Sutherland.
Ye shall be missed.
And, let's see, let's drop on into the, hey, I can use that segment.
Dun, dun, dun.
Now, you weren't here for the last episode.
No, I wasn't.
And, well, we introduced this segment with a talk about the book Ancient Inventions, about technological weirdness in the ancient world, you know, stuff that you wouldn't expect them to have, that we're used to having, but...
Like
cell phones.
They would.
Well, not quite cell phones, although they did find a battery somewhere. But Well, continuing on with our usage of this particular segment, what this is a summary of other media, non-game media, which has something that we can use in games. It'll mostly apply to role-playing games and the such, but you might be able to work out some other ideas from it here and there. What I picked out for this episode is a little bit weird even for that. It's
okay.
I'm going to send you to a website about the thing I'm going to mention here. You'll want to go to www.elonka.com/cryptos. I'm going to spell that out. ELONKA. And then cryptos is spelled KRYPTOS. And no, this isn't... this is not candy for the undead. This is a statue that sits in the courtyard of the Central Intelligence Agency headquarters.
Really?
Yes.
And it has a name.
Yes, it does.
Cryptos.
Yes.
The freshman.
Like I said, it's not candy for undead. It's it's a statue. The main thing about this is sort of the mystique that hovers around it, because what this thing looks like, and there are pictures on the site that I mentioned to you, which, and I'll have the site in the show notes as well. It looks basically like a metal flag coming off of this petrified wood post, basically. And there are messages encoded on it. And they've actually...
Okay.
And there are actual messages. This was originally commissioned for the CIA when they were building a new building there, and the director at the time commissioned this guy named Sanborn. I forget his first name, it's off the top of my head. But he's done several pieces like this since then, like the Cyrillic Projector, which is this thing. It's at University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, I believe. It's basically this room, and there's this revolving light, kind of a disco light kind of thing, but it has Cyrillic letters, and when they broke that code, it turned out to be old KGB documents.
Huh.
This is there are four different messages on the actual Cryptos thing, and all but one group of like 97 letters has been cracked by now. There are details about that on the site there. Now,
so it ended up being just like what, a fast food order, or
well, it's sort of a kind of a there's a puzzle to it. It's like one part
it's
of
an
it
encrypted message.
Sort of.
Ah, okay.
There are supposed to be certain keys hidden around places where people can find those, and
so it's like
including
a
another part. Sort of.
Woohoo!
There are several other pieces on the site, on the grounds of the CIA that have supposed to have something to do with what they're with what he's trying to do with Kryptos, but mostly I was planning on actually doing a different item for this before I decided to go ahead with this, so I don't have the translations right in front of me. But
so
they're on the website.
So it's uncertain if you decrypt all of it and then find these magical keys that you might not open up a gateway to the underworld.
I don't think there's any danger of anything like that happening. No.
Oh, okay.
But the first three pieces of it were decrypted using in one case a lot of pencil work. The second one, there's a guy with a supercomputer over in California who dedicated a lot of time to breaking the things. And they're actually supposed to be keys that would do it. It's just so, and they even said that, yeah, you decrypted them, but it wasn't the way you were expected to decrypt them. So it may be something else to that. Basically, though, what makes this useful is something with that kind of mystique to it. It's gotten a lot of attention again recently, because apparently one of the parts of the Kryptos code has coordinates to a very specific location encoded into it, and apparently some form of that recently appeared on the dust jacket of the Da Vinci Code, which of course you know has been a big bestseller recently for whatever reason, and that's therefore gained a lot of brought a lot of attention to Kryptos and that kind of and codes and ciphers and that in general. Now, of course, you want to be careful actually using codes and ciphers in your games.
Yeah, otherwise, because most players aren't that bright.
And you don't want them sitting there for hours trying to figure out if this letter is right, and then you start sitting there behind your screen thinking, wait, I misspelled that word, didn't I? And actually, Kryptos has some intentionally misspelled words in it.
Ooh, sneaky.
So that's part of... But it's mainly the whole, you
so
know...
So it spells wood with W00D?
No, not... No,
it's in elite.
It doesn't
no.
Elite, no. But like underground spelled UNDERGRUUND, things like that. It's just the whole mystique of the whole hidden message. It has a secret.
Sort of like that movie National Treasure.
In a way, yes.
And other movies, which have been done dozens of times with secret codes and
yes,
things.
But, yes, but this is neat, because this is real, and that it's not going to lead you to any big Templar treasure or anything like that, but it's an actual puzzle that lots of people are working on to this day, trying to figure out what it says. The whole secret thing, I'm sure you can slip in whatever you want to for your given role-playing game.
Maybe I'm sure that would be wonderful for Call of Cthulhu.
Maybe it'll tell you how to summon Haster to this plane of existence. Maybe it'll tell you a great recipe for instant noodles or something. You know,
that would make me go insane.
There's all sorts of things you can do with it. It's just the basic concept. You could even use Kryptos. I mean, why itself? I mean, why would that be in the CIA headquarters?
And why would it be a block of wood?
No, it's not a block of wood. It's actually a... It's arranged kind of like a flag. It's sort of a waved wall.
Oh,
Someone on the hacker show that I first heard about this from compared it to the Windows logo.
Ooh.
And in fact, it's even arranged in the four blocks like that. Two of the blocks have the messages. The other two have a tableau, which actually works towards decrypting one of the sections. It's a neat little thing, and you know, who knows what secrets lie in that fourth segment. Or, of course, you can come up with your own little neat thing to... Because, like I said, this guy's done other art, too. The Cyrillic projector had its own encoded meaning. wanting to say that there are some other things, but you'll find all the details at the website I gave you, ilanka.com/cryptos. Do you have anything?
No, my mind's a blank.
I think in future episodes you're wanting to do a special segment, though.
Ah, yes.
Ask a Gamer.
That's right. I'm hoping that you wonderful people out there will be able to type out your questions, or perhaps not your questions, but people who have asked you questions, if you are a gamer, about gaming. Basically from people who aren't gamers and have whatever question, like, I don't know, why do gamers do this? Why do they look like that? What's the deal with the dice? You know, something.
Actually, if you want to actually record your segment and send it to us,
ooh,
that's what Gmail is for.
Hey, that's right. What is the limit on that?
I don't remember off the top of my head, but it's certainly enough to send short audio questions.
So, all right.
And just in case you're wanting to know, yeah, we are kind of looking at doing this in sort of a vein of the Chappelle Show's Ask a Black Dude bit, so it should be interesting. But, so we'll try to do that in future shows, and...
Of course, we don't get paid anywhere near as much as Mr. Chappelle.
As a matter of fact, we don't get paid anything. We're doing this just for the love of the hobby.
That's right. We're weird.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes we really have to...
But you're listening to us, so that makes you sadistic. Or, no way.
Masochistic.
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, we're the sadists.
That's, you know, right. Neil, slave. No, wait. No, that just doesn't work over in podcasts. And
you know, this whole first half hour of the show has really made the subject matter look so much more appropriate somehow. Because we're so bad for the hobby's image right now.
I don't know what you're talking about. I love gaming. I love my gaming companions. I wish them all the best of luck in their duties of working in bookstores and flipping burgers.
Uh-huh. The subject we wanted to cover today, of course, was gaming advocacy. Of course, we've had the news segments over the last couple of shows about that whole thing in Brazil, and you should have seen Mike's face when I mentioned that last week. That was just priceless.
I don't think they can see that over the podcast.
No, they can't, but, oh, it was just about as shocked as you would expect.
All right.
Of course, we have it pretty good nowadays. You don't usually see...
Yeah, we don't have to hide in caves or anything. And
in fact, the 30th anniversary...
Although I'm sure a lot of people would have wanted to after the release of the Dungeons & Dragons movie.
Yeah, well, yeah. But that is one thing. We got a movie.
That's right.
The 30th anniversary of Dungeons & Dragons made international news.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, I saw a thing about it on BBC World. You don't see it as taken as seriously in the mainstream, or the anti-gaming crowd, anyway, as taken as seriously now as you had in the past. There's still a little bit of it around, and on a you may know people, individuals that you may have to talk with every once in a while. And so we want to kind of go into tools that will help you kind of convince other people that gaming isn't going to kill you.
You're not going to be able to raise the dead, no matter what a goth tells you.
you won't learn to cast spells by reading the player's handbook.
You won't instantly know kung fu.
Yeah, one of the websites I'm going to list tonight actually has a segment covering that whole little accusation. Here's my attempts to actually cast spells from D&D and Harry Potter and all this, and I'll get to those in a bit, though. It's
wonderful.
Oh, it's a funny bit. It really is. But let's see. The initial issues came up back when gaming was actually new. There were two key incidents. I'll go ahead and mention the website that had that one bit on it right now. TheEscapist.com. That's one word. The Escapist. They're the ones that have that segment about the spellcasting thing. It's a general resource as far as gaming advocacy goes. They keep track of news. They have a lot of documents and that kind of thing on their site, which would be helpful in doing such things. they cite two main cases that really caught the attention of people who would become anti-gaming. The first one was the case of James Dallas Egbert back in 1979. He was a young college student. He got in at 16.
Ooh.
Yes, and of course he had a lot of pressures in life, probably more than the normal 16-year-old would have.
Yeah, he'd probably never be able to get any from the college girls either.
Well, anyway, he went into hiding for a bit. A relative of his hired an investigator named William Deere, who took the hunch that because he played D&D, that he might find him in the steam tunnels underneath the school, because you know that started that whole. You know, you always hear about they supposedly these D&D people go into the steam tunnels and.
I've never
fight
heard
out
that,
things
actually.
And that. It's one of the big urban myths surrounding gaming, and this is where they believe that started.
We should start that back up.
Well, there
I
is.
I think that would be fun.
Well, there are organizations that do stuff like that, not in steam tunnels, but they have like different live action things with of various sorts.
Well, that's just LARPing.
That's what they call it nowadays. Anyway, Egbert committed suicide a year after he was found. Of course, this is well after he. There's no direct correlation with the game in there, but the William Deere published a book that really pressed that angle, and so.
So basically, it was nothing but assumption.
Basically, yes.
Ah, wonderful.
This also became if I recall correctly, this became sort of a basis later on for some fictional works that will kind of swing back into things here a little bit later. The other one, and the really notorious one, was the 1982 suicide of Irving Bink Pulling. Apparently, from what his mother, Patricia Pulling, claimed, his character in a D&D game was somehow cursed, and that's what made him commit suicide. He had all kinds of other problems. I'll present some links later on. There's theescapist.com has some details about it, but there's another link that I will put in later on that has a lot more details, because it tells a lot more about Patricia Pulling and an organization that she started called Bothered About Dungeons and Dragons. I don't think they actually exist anymore. Pat Pulling herself died some years back.
But if they do still exist, let us know.
Indeed. The aim of BAD at the time was to try to have D&D banned from schools and try to lobby to have warning labels put on the book covers warning that the contents could cause people to commit suicide.
They don't do that with drinking.
No.
I don't get a bottle of vodka and says, warning may cause you to be an idiot.
This is true. It's...
Maybe they should do that.
Perhaps.
But with a lot more things, too, Like, on the box of World of Warcraft, warning, may suck all your life out.
It's quite possible, quite possible. As far as BAD goes, for a while, it was taken very seriously for some time.
Thank you, Nancy Reagan.
I wasn't so much her as it was... what's her name? Tipper Gore.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she got on the bandwagon a little bit in a game of hers. In a book that she wrote.
Tipsy Gore.
And there you start having the folding in there of both these kind of groups along with religious groups. Of course, you'll still every once in a while see like the 700 Club. They'll have something about how gaming caused this person to go bad or something, or...
Do you know a child who engages in Dungeons and Dragons? Save their soul and send money to the 700 Club.
And, of course, there is the infamous chick tract called Dark Dungeons. Some of you have heard of chick publishing. Have you heard of them?
Why, no, I have not.
Okay, that's basically this Christian publisher who puts out these little comic books, basically. This little comic book tracts, and each one is tied to some specific subject. and they did one on Dungeons & Dragons called Dark Dungeons. I tried to find a online version of this somewhere, and I couldn't. They've apparently all kind of vanished from online, but it's... The basic plot line is there's this girl who's into the game and that, and in the course of playing, you know, it's... initiated into this circle of witches and all this, and it's just really
you
messed
mean
up
if,
stuff.
If I start role playing, I might be able to become a witch?
No.
Oh man.
You see, that's the thing. You know, it's just completely. It's almost funny if you read it. And in fact, if there is there was a site at one point that did sort of a Mystery Science Theater thing on it. I couldn't find it offhand when I was looking for this stuff. But if you can, great. Let us know. Send us the URL, and we'll put it on there. Over time, as far as all this goes, it's kind of lost its luster to a lot of people. It's not you know, the whole.
It's just not as satanic anymore. I mean. Come on, people.
No. I mean, the whole anti-gaming thing, it's not taken as seriously anymore, I think. You still see it crop up sometimes, especially in the wake of a high-profile incident.
A lot more role-playing games on being, you know, like, part of a terrorist organization or raising gas prices, that might catch people's attention.
Like
Oil Barons, the RPG.
That might make a better board game. You know,
that's true.
And then the idea file. Eventually, Pauline hooked up with a guy named Dr. Radecki. This is where the little fiction thing kind of swerves back into it. But they eventually came up with this list of a supposed death count of lives cut short because of role-playing games. Most of them just on their face had, you know, they wound up on the list because somebody involved in the thing, you know, the victim, the perpetrator, somebody who lived next door, whatever, was into gaming.
Wow.
So it wasn't anything more than that. And others, there's all sorts of other problems that people involved had that contributed a lot more to their problems than gaming probably did.
So if my uncle's aunt died, since she's connected to me, it would be because of gaming.
It's entirely possible.
Wow.
According to some people, anyway.
That's just silly.
Yeah, but what's even sillier is they eventually... one of the things on their list was about a guy at Grant College in Pequot, Pennsylvania, who basically went crazy playing this one game and very nearly jumped off of a very tall building. And this sounds like a movie I've seen, you know?
Hmm.
You know, that one, that one with the, what's his name, the guy that talked to that volleyball. Well, who is he? Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks?
Tom Hanks. What was the name of that movie?
He Worships Satan?
No.
That doesn't
no.
surprise me, but...
No, it's that old movie. Whoops. Oh, Mazes and Monsters. That's right.
Mm.
One of the things that they touted for so long was a fictional work by an author named Rona Jaffe, a thing called Mazes and Monsters, which was eventually made into a movie starring Tom Hanks and still shows up on, like, TBS every once in a while nowadays. And it's if you haven't seen it, I actually recommend going out and seeing it because it's bad, but it's just screwed up bad. It's got Chris Makepeace, if you remember My Bodyguard. I think this is the only other major thing that he did, and some other people who didn't do much of anything else as far as I know. But it's a bit dated now, of course, because the...
Because it has Tom Hanks in it.
Well, it has the World Trade Center in it. So,
gasp.
Yeah.
We can't show that on TV then.
Edit
that out.
Anyway, but they actually claimed that for some time as an actual case, which came to much of the shock of
the author
who later, an organization called CARPGA sought out to find out about this. CARPGA, of course, is the Committee for the Advancement of Role-Playing Games.
That's right, people. There are committees out there.
It was originally founded
for both sides.
Yeah, it was originally founded to try to answer some of the arguments about why gaming was bad, which kind of I think is why you don't see as much nowadays. Like we were talking over lunch about the whole vampire cult thing. That happened not.
Yes.
That happened not. Well, the actual murder and that didn't, but
yeah.
The group was from only a few hundred miles from here.
That's right. They're from Kentucky.
So you would expect a whole lot of backlash locally. And there may have been in Murray itself. But around here, there was a really lurid news, TV news story about it, and a little bit of stuff in the Courier-Journal, and then not much else.
And then they basically said, no, they were just loners and stupid.
And seemed to be more obsessed with vampires in general. And the whole
yeah.
That just kind of folded into it.
I mean, if that were the case, then they should have, like, banned Buffy from TV.
Yeah, that's lots of weirdness. But, you know, you didn't see a real concerted effort to have gaming done away with around here, and you might have expected that if it had happened during
especially
the...
Especially with this conservative administration
yeah.
we have in this town. But anyway,
yeah.
I digress.
Let's see, opinions are not necessarily the opinions of the show.
But they are the person speaking.
Yes. Yes, the show itself has no opinion as far as...
Because the show is not an entity.
Well, yes. I see a huge cut coming when I do this later tonight. But where was I? There wasn't a whole lot of local reaction beyond that kind of little initial panic, but then it was just...
But it did start a trend. Not a good trend, but there turned out to be more little makeshift trench coat mafias in schools. And, of course, they blame it on everything.
Yeah.
Role-playing games, video games.
But it is more video games now, I think.
Yeah, I think that's because they make more money. I think the video game industry is so much more powerful than the role-playing game industry that that's a bigger target.
That could be. But, of course, it's just kind of silly overall. I mean, you look at all the claims that they were making about Doom. You know, talking about how Doom is like sniper training. And I don't remember the last time... I don't remember the last time anyone went target shooting using a keyboard. You know, that's...
You know, I've got Rainbow Six games, and that's still not really training. If
yeah.
anything, that lets me sneak up on my teammates and plug them in the head. I mean...
Yeah. Have you had any other experiences as far as just what we've kind of discussed here as far as people who are against gaming?
Oh,
like that?
Just parents. You know, it's the whole typical...
The usual do your homework or you can't play kind of thing.
Oh, no. More like, why are you playing that? It's satanic. Put away those magazines. What's this under your pillow? You know.
The usual thing. Yeah,
yeah, I mean, come on. But there's certain groups out there that blow it way out of proportion.
Yeah, there are. But, of course...
A concerned mother just being paranoid will cause an entire action committee to declare something.
Yes, as we saw with BAD. Of course, on the other hand, they should be concerned about what their kids are doing,
yeah.
Certainly, but, you know, don't go off the handle. Like, there's somebody back in this older group that I was running stuff for, Clay was actually part of that one, too, and there was somebody that he knew from his church that was interested in trying to get into it. His parents weren't really quite sure, so...
Wait. Church?
Yeah.
You mean that Christians play role-playing games?
Certainly. I mean, the thing is, you'll find all kinds of people around a gaming table, sometimes even the same gaming table. Now, I mean, sometimes the personality mismatches a bit too much and, you know, stuff happens, but...
And fists fly.
Hopefully fists don't fly, but, you know, that's... But the point is that you'll see a lot of different kinds of people who are gamers, and I'll get to that momentarily. I'd actually thought about offering to let the kids' parents sit in on a session of the game we were running to see what it was like. Clay did lend them a copy of the rule book of the game we were running, which in this case was Legend of the Five Rings.
Mm.
And although they weren't sure about, even then, weren't sure about letting their kid get involved in that, they did kind of leave it open for when he was older and that kind of thing. So it turned out positive in the end. And in fact, someone else, I remember Clay mentioning that somebody else, overhearing them, made some comment about games, and the parents actually defended him, saying, they're being open about this, they're not hiding anything, so it's all good, In fact, I have my own little story. Going back to some of this, early in my college career, I actually went to Campus Crusade for Christ on a few occasions, and I ran into a guy there who later was hanging out with our group a whole lot. What started him hanging out with us a whole lot was one day I was up in the Western Kentucky University Student Union. I was with some other people. We were planning out a Dungeons & Dragons game. I had all the books out and that. He comes in. Now, to let you know about where he's coming from, he looked like a young Oral Roberts type, the like slicked back hair. He looked like a televangelist.
So
if that tells you something.
You were probably expecting him to come in and go, "Repent."
Well, he came in and he said hi, walked over, asked what was going on. I said, "Well, we're planning out a Dungeons and Dragons game." And at the time, I was kind of steeling myself, expecting to hear, that's satanic and all this, right? Mm-hmm. But instead, what I heard was, can I play? So it worked out, He was actually interested in. He turned out to be a big Star Trek fan, It's.
Ah.
So you find all sorts, and even more so, a site that I stumbled across in looking around for stuff here.
Well, that's an interesting point you brought up, because I think that there's a lot more religious people that are more willing to accept things like Star Wars and Star Trek than typical sci-fi things like Dungeons and Dragons, which is odd.
But you'll even find some that aren't that don't look into those either. But I did find an interesting website when I was going over some of this other stuff, called fansforchrist.org. And it's basically Christian science fiction fans of various sorts. The cover graphic has, gaming mentioned, fantasy, science fiction, SCA, all that kind of thing. And so that's an interesting little counterpoint for the ones who are so sure that you're going to go to hell if you play those games. Let's see. Some of the stuff I mentioned before, a man named Michael Stackpole wrote up a thing called The Polling Report, talking about Dungeons, bothered about Dungeons and Dragons and some of the issues with some of the stuff that they'd said. It's up on several sites on the internet, actually. You can probably just do a search for Polling Report. I did tag one of them with Tiny Earl. Put it up at tinyurl.com/DXJ5F. I'll also put that up in the show notes. I mentioned CarPGA. Now, the escapist.com has a lot of information about that. And you can also find there their own home website. Not an official one, but it's about as close as you're going to get. At memberswj.caltonwj/carpga.htm. Again, I'll put a link in the show notes.
Oh, geez, that's long.
It'll be in the show notes.
Yeah. Okay.
Getting towards, and there's a bunch of other stuff I wanted to get in here, but we're getting close to the end. Believe it or not.
Wow.
I wanted to mention one of my professors in college had some of the legendary cult cop documents. There would be guys, and there was in fact a guy in Bowling Green who did this kind of thing, would go and do seminars for the police departments about occult related crimes, and of course Dungeons and Dragons was a big trend in their in all their stuff, and it was really, actually I think the polling report goes into some of that, because of course Pat Polling was a big proponent of some of these things. In fact, did some of those kind of things herself. So, because she eventually got her private investigator's license and stuff like that, and it all kind of folded in. So, overall, it's not as big a thing anymore, but it's still something we have to look at as gamers.
And it's still something that religious groups will talk about from time to time. And, of course, parents...
Or just any particular busybodies, you know.
True. Anyone who likes to stick their nose into everyone's business. Like parents.
Yeah.
But they do have that right. If you are living with them, you're a minor, well, guess what? Deal with it.
Yeah. Although, if you're lucky, you may have a chance to actually discuss it with them. Although, if they, if after that they still say no, then, you know, wait till you turn 18.
Yeah.
There's not much you can really
move
do about
out.
That. And I can't say that there aren't some issue problems or some image problems that gamers have even nowadays. I mean, just look at the first half hour of our show.
What are you talking about? We're good, wholesome family fun.
Well, we try to be, at least. Oh, it's been about an hour. Next week we'll try for the Origins show, and barring that, we may well discuss the end of our current campaign, because we ought to be done by then.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
If not, my character will go insane and kill everyone.
I guess that can work.
All right. Or at least the line will.
Yeah.
More on that later.
Yes, indeed. I'm also considering the possibility of doing... I've been having fun with podcasting, so I want to either do more... Either do little things for this show on the off weeks, or possibly another show completely different of my own. We'll
sort
see.
Of like a variety show of sorts?
I don't know. We'll see. I mean, there is that idea, too, but... I mean, just something else, just because I've got to enjoy this stuff so much. And we'll see how that goes. You may find additional little shows on the off weeks for this podcast, though. Any input on that or on anything else with the show, you can send it to allgamesconsidered@gmail.com.
Brief rundown of the news articles we had.
Very brief.
Green Ronin and Ronin Arts merging for PDF publications, or at least partnering. New supplement for the All Flesh Must Be Eaten role-playing game.
World of Warcraft RPG preview stuff is up at whitewolf.com, whitewolf.com, and of course the passing of David Sutherland, who is an illustrator for TSR, the art director for TSR, actually, and did some most recognizable works in gaming, probably.
And hopefully we might be able to find a website where people can donate.
I'll see what I can find. I will see what I can find, and if I do, I will mention it next episode. And
all
I'll,
right.
Or I'll make that the first supplemental thing on this podcast. And I think that is about that for this fortnight. We'll see you in two. Poltergeist by Lisa Rain is available under Creative Commons Attribution License at lisarain.com. That's R-E-I-N. Space Opera Main Theme by Kevin MacLeod is available under Creative Commons Attribution License at incompetech.com. All Games Considered is released under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial License.